The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Welcome back. And wasn't that fascinating speaking to Joe Conduit about the National Men's Conference? It really does look like a fascinating event. And if I was stateside, I would definitely be making a beeline to Cincinnati on March 25th to be part of that. I think it's a wonderful apostolate, much needed in these times. Men really do need this. And you know what? That person who texted in, how can women help? Absolutely. That is the key. Women can push their men, as Joe said, towards the conference. And that's very, very important because, you know, men do need a bit of a kick sometimes. They need a bit of help to get over and out. I don't know about you, but certainly that's my experience. NationalMen'sConference.com. Check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And maybe the Holy Spirit's asking you to go there. Now, the Holy Spirit's asking me to pray with you now in this next segment, in this Divine Mercy Chaplet segment. When we come together as a praying family on this radio station, yes, if you're listening to this, whether you're in your car, whether you're out walking a dog, whether you're lying in a sick bed somewhere, we are praying with you now. Just by virtue of you listening, you're part of this show, part of this praying family. We are delighted to have you with us. And we'd be even more delighted to pray for you. And if you've got any intentions, do feel free to text in on 251-928-2111. Or if you're feeling like you just need to talk to somebody, well, give me a ring, 888-928-0881. I'd be only too happy to take your calls and to pray for you and your intentions, whatever they may be, or whoever they may be. And remember what I say, oh, nearly every single day, no intention is too small. You lost your house keys, or you can't find your bank statement, whatever it is, I will pray for that. But also the big things. We had some big things yesterday when Bob was praying with me. We had a lot of cancer sufferers, cancer survivors, people undergoing various tests for cancer. We want to pray for you as well. And listen, what do you got to lose? There must be somebody out there who's got some medical procedure coming up and you're anxious about it. Well, let us pray for you. And you can even text us anonymously, 251-928-2111. Okay, now, as always, I'm joined by a prayer warrior each day who battles with me for everybody's intentions. And I turn to Reed and say, Reed, do we have a prayer warrior today?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Mr. Devin Moore.
Devin, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, Devin, remind me, forgive me, is this your first time?
This is my first time on air. Yes, sir.
That I thought, because the name Devin is not that common. It's a nice name. Are you named after the English county?
I am. My parents actually spelled it incorrectly, but I'm named after the English county.
Is that because your forefathers hailed from that part of the world?
A lot of English, a lot of Irish, a lot of French. I think they actually saw it in a referenced in a movie and just liked the name.
Good. Well, we like the name as well, Devin. And tell me, where have you come from today?
I live here in Fairhope, the home of Archangel Radio.
I love the way you say that, Devin. You know, we should get that cut, Mike and Reed. That could be a wonderful little segue. Fairhope, the home of Archangel Radio. I really like that, Devin. That sounds great. Well, that's great. Now, I'm assuming you are a devotee of the Divine Mercy.
Chaplain. I am.
Fantastic. And you know how we do it on this show?
I do. I
Would you like a little refresher, perhaps, on how you do it?
It probably wouldn't hurt.
Okay, so it's not very complicated. We start, I say the preamble prayers, you know, the various things. And then before we get to the first chaplet, I normally turn to our prayer warrior and ask for your intentions. And then we pray for that specifically. And then we have another four decades, as you know, to go. And depending on how many calls we get or texts we get, we'll see we might return to you at another point for another decade. So don't worry. And then in the final mop-up, there's always an opportunity in the final decade for a few more intentions. So I suppose what I'm saying, Devin, is there'll be plenty of opportunity for all those things that you brought with you today to pray for.
Sounds good.
Okay. In which case, let's get started. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Then we say together, Devin, three times, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're about to say this first decade now, Devin. Just before we do, I'll tell people again, you can text in your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. That's 251-928-2111. Or if you'd like to call in and speak to Devin and myself, then it's 888-928-0881. Okay, Devin, who or what have you brought for this first decade?
I think for this first decade, I would like to pray for our brothers in Turkey and Syria, be they Muslim, Christian, non-denominational, non-believers, whatever. May God help alleviate their suffering as a result of this earthquake a few days ago, and continue to protect and watch over them.
I think that's a beautiful prayer, Devin, and a much-needed one at this time. And I think that's a whole decade on its own. I mean, the suffering that these people are going through, we can't even imagine. And in some ways, I'm not even sure if I can imagine it. You know, to have your whole life just completely wiped out by something like that, and the death that it's caused, the destruction, the injury, both to people, their properties, their livelihoods. I mean, it's unimaginable.
It really is.
Absolutely.
It really
is. It really is. It really is. So I'm so glad you brought that to us. And now we bring it to everybody here at Archangel, all our praying family together here on the radio. And we pray for all our, as Devin said, all our brothers, all our sisters, all our family, because we're all the human family. That's the only family there is, really. And we're all linked, and everybody in Turkey and Syria is suffering at the moment. We now pray for. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Devin. That's us up and running. Now, I've had a text in while we've been on air, and it's from an anonymous person, a listener, and hello, anonymous, you know who you are, and I know who you are, and you're asking for spiritual and emotional healing for your son. And given that we were just speaking with Joe Condit earlier there about men and the spirituality of the male spirituality, that's a very good intention, Anonymous, and we'd like to lift up your son for healing, that the Lord will heal him both spiritually and emotionally in this second decade. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Devin. Now, we've had another text in while we've been praying, and it's good news. Thank you, Sherry, for your text. Much appreciated. You may remember yesterday we prayed for Albert, who was having a shoulder surgery while we were praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We prayed for Albert, for his family, and also for his doctor, I think it was Dr. Matthews, that the surgery would go well and that Albert would, you know, recover well. And Sherry's just texted saying that Albert's shoulder surgery went well and that he is now home recovering. So Albert, if you're listening to this, we are delighted that the surgery went well, and we will pray for your speedy recovery from your shoulder injury and your recent surgery. And we'll also pray for Sherry. Very kind of you to ask for these prayers, Sherry. We'll pray for your intentions as well, especially for your children. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Devin. And Albert, keep us posted If you're listening, keep us posted. We'd love to know about your recovery, and we were going to be rejoicing in how quick it is, so do keep us posted. I don't know, Devin, if you managed to catch any of that interview with Joe Condit before you came on air.
I did not.
It was very, very interesting because he was talking about the National Men's Conference, which is taking place on March 25th up in Cincinnati. And we had a fascinating discussion about men, right? And the way in which, you know, men socialize or don't socialize in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. And also it's men need an excuse to come together, right? They can't just do what women are very good at, which is just sitting and having a chat together sometimes. But one of the things I did say was that I would like to pray for that men's conference, for its success, but also that it will do a lot of good in the lives of the, I think it's 10,000 delegates that will be going there to that conference. That it will really help those men become true men in the mold of St. Joseph. So that would be my prayer for that. I don't know if that rings any bells with you, Devin. Is there any man in your life that you would like to pray for specifically in this decade when we're focusing on that issue?
You know, I'm glad you asked. I just recently relocated my father to this side of Mobile Bay from his home in Mobile, and he, like myself and many of us, is a bit of a loner. And I just I ask that the remainder of his life be happy and fulfilled, and that he enjoy his new location here in Fairhope.
That's great. May I ask your father's name? His first name?
It's his name is Thomas or Tom, but he goes by Hampy or Hampton, which is his middle name.
Hampton, okay. Hammy or Hampton. Well, if you're listening, Hampton, you've got a very good son in Devon who obviously concerned about you and your welfare. And also, Devin, I would say you have quite a good insight into the male psyche, which is that we can't bear the thought of being dependent on other people. That's one of our foibles, you know. It's one of the things that makes us get up and do things, but it's also one of our weaknesses that we find it very difficult to ask for
help. Very true.
And also within families, I mean, I've got three brothers. I mean, do you know what I mean? It's just, I mean, I wonder how my mother coped, actually, you know, with four of us, you know, alpha males bouncing around, you know, but she did. I think she enjoyed it, actually.
Probably.
So, yes, well, do you have brothers and sisters, Devin?
I have two sisters. I have an older sister and a younger sister. I was not blessed with any brothers, which my mother would probably consider a blessing.
Is your dear mother not with us anymore?
She is. She is. She had her hands full with the one son she had, so I don't know that she would have enjoyed another.
No. Okay. Well, we'll pray for Hampton and Hammy and his new world, and we'll pray for the men's conference, and it bear great fruit in men's lives. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Devin. Now, I will return to you in a moment, Devin, so if you could just have a think about any other prayer requests you might have. But I just want to see, Reed and Mike, are you present and correct?
We are.
Well, that makes a change.
Right. I'll go first, if you don't mind. I'd like to pray for Rip Repol, which is Devin Moore's nephew. He's transferred to Troy University and College, and here he's doing really well, and is going to be working, I think, with the, as an equipment manager for the football team, and so I want to pray for him that he does
that,
well.
Mike, is yes. that is
the American
the
football
famous-
team? Yeah,
is Rip the famous Ripster that was helping you?
That is correct. Yep. He did a great job. He did a phenomenal job.
He was in my role before I came here, Kevin.
So he was your sort of ancestor in radio terms,
really. Mm-hmm.
He sure was. He's filling in quite nicely.
So. He is. Well, we're definitely Rip. If you're listening to this, we're praying for you and anybody who's passed through the portals of Archangel Radio is part of the family. So you're always going to be prayed for. So, absolutely, we'll pray for Rip.
Thank you. All right, Reed, you go ahead, buddy.
Kevin, I would love to pray for all addicts. You know, people who, you know, are addicted to something that keeps them away from God. I hope that they can find true meaning and the true desire for God.
I think that's a wonderful intention, Reed, and much needed in these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially anybody listening who maybe thinks that their addiction is greater than God's grace, that somehow they will never be free of that addiction. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie from the evil one. And it's not true. It's not true. I've met them. I've met people who were on drugs for years who are now walking free. And it was the Holy Spirit that got them through. It wasn't a rehab. Alcohol, the same, pornography, whatever it is, the Lord can free you from it today. Now, he can also free you from anxiety or attachment to worry or doubt or anger or all those other things that we struggle with. The Lord can free you from all these addictions. As he said himself in the book of Revelation, I come to make all things new, and he comes to make you and me new. That's the good news. So hang in there. Wonderful prayer, Reed. Wonderful prayer, Mike. Devin, it's final orders here at the Last Chance Saloon of the Divine Mercy. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
How about we pray for the gift of wisdom to everyone who is listening today, just in general, that God grant us his gift of wisdom.
I'll take that. That sounds great. That sounds like a really, really good thing. So we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon everybody who's listening. Whether you're listening live, whether you're listening on Encore, whether you're listening on playback, on the mobile app, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will inspire you and guide you. And we're praying that that will become the leading light in your life. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude three times. Holy God. Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God.
Holy God.
Holy Mighty One.
Holy
Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Well, Devin, that was your first time on air praying the Divine Mercy. How was it?
Delightful. Thank you. Thanks for leading us.
Now, you kept it quiet that your son is Rip.
No, it's his nephew.
Sorry, forgive me. Your nephew, even though.
Yes, my sister's son.
Yes. So you have a direct connection with Archangel Radio.
I do. These guys have just done a tremendous job here.
Well, thank you. And we think Devin is a big sponsor for during football, McGill Toulon and St. Michael football. And so we certainly thank him for that. And he's always been a big 1410 donor sponsor. So we couldn't do it without people like Devin Moore. So thank you, brother.
Thank you for saying so.
So, Devin, absolutely, we thank you very much because you're the reason we're on air, people like you. So we're really, really grateful.
Amen.
But I've got a question for you, Devin.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But you've been speaking to Reed and Mike because they're all Philadelphia Eagle crazy. I'm thinking I'm going to have to go for the other side. What is it, Kansas City Chiefs or something?
Yeah. What? You broadcast over Lower Alabama, and it's all the Alabama people. You need to go for Philadelphia.
Well, listen, the only person I'm supporting is the referee. You know that. Devin, it's been a great pleasure having you on. Will you come back again and pray with us?
Absolutely would love to, Kevin. Thank you.
And listen, if you bring anybody you can with you, your members of your family, your friends, work colleagues, anybody you like, bring them in. What harm will it do?
Will do.
All right. Listen, thank you very much. That was Devin Moore, everyone. A great friend to the station and a great friend to us now because he's done the Divine Mercy Chaplet with us. Now, when we come back, we are going to be hearing from Judy Gulledge, who runs the Mobile Carnival Museum. I almost said the Mobile Carnival Museum, but that's something totally separate. But we will be checking in with Judy when we come back. Stay with me here on Archangel Radio. Saw Lon Chaney as well many a time walking down the streets of London. You're back here on the Turley Frequency live and exclusive coming to yes from London all the way across Southern Alabama. That's the way this world works. Now, I'm talking of Southern Alabama. You know better than I that carnival season is almost upon us. So I am delighted to say that I'm joined by Judy Gulledge, who's come here to tell me all about the Mobile Carnival Association. Judy, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Well, good morning.
Good afternoon. Good morning to you. How are you doing?
Doing great today. We're already in the city of Mobile looking forward to celebrating Carnival throughout Fat Tuesday in just a short week and a half.
Now, I believe that the Mobile Carnival Association is America's oldest. Is it one of America's oldest Mardi Gras, or is it just that the Mardi Gras is the oldest in America?
Mardi Gras here in Mobile has been going on since 1703, and so we are the birthplace of Mardi Gras in North America.
That's incredible. Talk to me about how it began in 1703. I'm fascinated by that.
Well, you know, as when America was founded, when those ancestors came over. What they did was they brought with them the traditions from the motherland. Of course, carnival celebrations had been happening for a while, and all over Europe. So, of course, what do you do when you establish a new territory? You build a fort. And so they had this fort, Fort Saint-Louis, which is just about 27 miles north of where present-day Mobile, Alabama is. And they brought with them their traditions from the motherland. And so with that was, of course, carnival celebrations. And so came Fat Tuesday, and they had their celebrations where they paraded around the fort, the fatted ox, and therefore that tradition continued, and that was the impetus for the beginning of bringing Mardi Gras celebrations or carnival celebrations to the North America. So then we fast forward a little bit, and we get into the 1800s, and we get a group of folks who now are organizing themselves a little bit better. The Cowbellion de Rankin Society was founded. They initially had their celebration on New Year's Eve, but that was the first organized mystic society, and from them came our current day mystic societies that form what we know as our parading society and our public part of Mardi Gras here in Mobile.
You know, I love it when you talk about mystic societies. They sound like sort of mysterious figures, you know, sort of in the night, all caped and masked. It sounds really, really exciting. But tell me this then, Judy, because that's a fascinating, and thank you for that history. How come then, in the European mindset, when we hear Mardi Gras and we think of the United States, I'm afraid we don't think of Mobile. We think of those interlopers over in Louisiana.
Well, first of all, Louisiana made a decision many, many years ago over in New Orleans to kind of publicize their Mardi Gras and to go outside of their community. So they hit that from a real tourist angle. So that's why most people that are not from the U.S. Think of New Orleans as being Mardi Gras in North America or in the United States specifically. So what happened was that they really publicized that. Our celebration here, we kept it in our communities. I mean, Mardi Gras here in our city is a part of our cultural fabric. It is interwoven into the very being of most of our citizens in this particular area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely sounds it. Now, listen, explain to me some of the terminology around this Mardi Gras, mm-hmm. because I have a question here. Somebody's asked me, just said, ask your guest about the court. And I'm thinking, what court? Which court are we talking about? Is Judy appearing in court soon?
I appreciate you asking that. So in Mobile, and when I talk about Mardi Gras in Mobile, I am talking about the city of Mobile. But there are many carnival celebrations that are throughout the Gulf Coast region specifically and on up into as far up as like St. Louis in Missouri that have carnival celebrations. So all the way down to like Brownsville, Texas and on over into the Florida Panhandle as well. But here in Mobile, we have over 80 mystic organizations. And of those, 39 of them parade. And those parades are public parts that happen over a 2.5 week span. But mm-hmm. behind the scenes of that public part of Mardi Gras that most people are most familiar with is the royal side. So each of those 80-plus mystic organizations all have royalty associated with their particular organization. Sometimes they're a king, sometimes it's a king, sometimes it's a mm-hmm. king and a queen, sometimes it's a leading lady. But what the Mobile Carnival Association does and has done since like 1898 is we have a queen of Mardi Gras. So that is the public face of all of Mardi Gras, and that's what the Mobile Carnival Association, of whom I'm a part of, gives to the community. So we have an elaborate coronation that's going to happen next Saturday night. It's open to the public, and we've been told National Geographic was in probably about 15 years ago here in the city and said that our coronations here rival those of heads of states in Europe. So we're very we're very proud of what we do here. It's a very elaborate pomp and circumstance event. And it, like I said, it'll take place next Saturday here. So we offer that to the community. All of those other mystic organizations that we have here in Mobile, they crown or highlight or offer regalia or to their particular royalty in an invitation only behind closed doors party. And it's not open to the public unless you receive an invitation to that. And it's just for their particular society. So the Mobile Carnival Association, the Queen of Carnival, the King and Queen rule over Carnival from next Saturday night through Fat Tuesday.
That is incredible, you know. I don't think there are many people this side of the Atlantic who would have ever heard of any of this. You know, I mean, in our eyes, Mardi Gras is something that happens in New Orleans, and it's just a bit of a party, right? Full stop. Whereas this has a whole pageantry, a whole history, a whole kind of infrastructure, which is just really, really amazing. I mean, I'm wondering, Judy, are you some sort of royalty yourself? Should I be addressing you as your Royal Highness or something like that?
No, I am not, and I appreciate that. I'm simply the worker bee behind the scenes making sure that all the royalty look good.
So you're the queen bee?
I'm just the worker bee. How about that? The worker bee behind the scenes. But, you know, it takes a lot of coordination here with our cities. I tell you, within our city, our entire city gets involved in what happens with parades, which is, once again, the public side of Mardi Gras. And just what a lot of people don't understand is that Mardi Gras as a celebration is a party put on by the people, for the people. So everyone who participates, whether you're royalty or you're just a masker on a float or you're just going to a parade, everyone pays their own way. The city of Mobile extends to the celebration. Our police, which provide public safety, so public safety in the form of the police, which control our crowds, and also our public works, which put out our barricades to line the streets before the parades and do the cleanup afterwards. So that's what the city contributes. Other than that, everyone who participates pays their own way. Every organization pays for their own parade. And the parades themselves are elaborate, elaborate productions. Most of the parades here have around 16 to 18 floats in them. They're all handmade, or they're created each year around a particular theme. So when Mardi Gras is over for each year, they're taken back to big warehouses that we call barns. They're taken back down to their 2x4 and chicken wire sides. And then the new leadership for that year comes up with a theme. The theme is taken to an artist who depicts something that might portray that particular theme. And then they go about reconstructing and building those floats. Once the float designs are decided upon, then we take those float sketches to the costume house. The costume house then designs the costumes to match that particular float for the maskers that go on the float. And maskers are either, you know, they can be male or female or mixed gender, depending on the different mystic societies. So that is created new each year, too, including elaborate headpieces. So these are worn, and they're just worn for 2.5 hours on the parade route.
Amazing. It's amazing. I mean, what's going through my mind, Judy, just as I'm speaking, is that the whole Mardi Gras experience in Mobile is more than just a day. And I know you talk about it's kind of like a season and that, but the amount of people that are involved in this, the numbers of people involved, but the amount of work that's involved in as well, the amount of time that people are donating and volunteering for this. I mean, it must really kind of bring all of Mobile together in a very wonderful way.
Oh, it most definitely is. It's something that crosses all socioeconomic levels. It crosses all religions. It crosses the amalgamation of people that participate in Mardi Gras is unreal. And also it brings very much an economic impact to our city because there are so many jobs associated with that, too. For each of those the majority of those mystic organizations that I mentioned, we have over 80 plus just in Mobile. Now, once again, I am just talking about the city of Mobile. All these other bedroom communities have celebrations as well, too. But there are elaborate balls that go along with that. So men are dressed up and most of them in formal wear with white tie and tails. Ladies are in long dresses. So then you get into the aspect of buying these particular clothes. So you've got tailors that make things and people that purchase things. And then, of course, you know, when a lady goes to a ball, she's got to have her hair done and her nails done, and she's got to have the proper shoes and a handbag. So all of that money is right here in our community that stays here. That's in addition to all of the people that work in the costume houses and the float houses, and then all of the people. We have throw houses, too, and throw houses are where you buy the things that you throw off the float. So every person who rides a float, it's not uncommon for a young man who can throw a lot to spend $1,200, $1,500 just on trinkets to throw off. And you put 30 people on a float at purchasing that amount of volume of stuff to throw off, you can see the economic turnaround that we have in our community.
Yes, this is very, very interesting, Judy, because you're giving me a whole different perspective on this and just how much this means to people and how important it is on many different levels for the city of Mobile and the other parades and festivals that are taking place at this time across Southern
Alabama. And I'll tell you, one thing that you touched on, you know, there are areas of our country where people talk about the winter blues. Are you familiar with that, the winter blues?
Listen, I live in a country which is solidly winter blues, Judy.
Yeah. So we're in the south. Obviously, Mobile is down in the lower part of the state, so we're close to the Gulf Coast. And so our weather here can be mild, but we would never have a winter blue season here because in our community there is Christmas and New Year's, and then we go straight into our Mardi Gras season. So we have an entire carnival season, so we never have a blue season here.
Well, long may it continue, Judy. This sounds absolutely fascinating. Listen, I'm really, really grateful for you coming in today. It's been a real insight. I mean, I knew nothing about this, so this is really, really interesting. Maybe you'll come back again and update us on the latest news about the whole Mobile Carnival atmosphere and festivities that are planned.
Well, we invite all to come and share our celebration here. There's something for everyone, and it's a beautiful, beautiful time of the year here.
Is there any website that people can go to, Judy, that they can find out specifics, like details of schedules and events and such like?
Yes, the City of Mobile, cityofmobile.org, has a website that has stuff for all facets of Mardi Gras, not just tourists, but also people who want to be vendors, people who need parking information, etc. So that is on their website. There's also a website called the Mobile Mask. That has information, and then there's information on the Mobile Carnival Museum website. So all three of those would give, and visitmobile.org.
That's perfect. Okay, thank you so much, Judy, for coming on the Turley Frequency today.
Well, you are so welcome, and as we say here in Mobile, we're going to let the good times roll.
Thank you very much, Judy. Okay, that was Judy Gullidge, who is part of the Mobile Carnival Association. And as you can tell, she's involved in all aspects of the wonderful carnival that's about to descend upon Mobile in the coming days and weeks. Okay, so we've got a little bit of time left, so I think we better get on and finish what's left of our story this week. So, gentlemen, shall we go story time? So you may remember yesterday we were talking about St. Claude de la Comblière, do you remember? And Paris Le Monial, where St. Margaret Mary Alacoque had visions of the Sacred Heart, and that's where the modern Sacred Heart devotion really grew from in 1673. And the only person who really understood her was St. Claude de la Colombière, who was a Jesuit priest. And then just as they began to understand each other and he began to direct her as a spiritual director of this holy nun, he was moved from Catholic France to Protestant London, Protestant England. And why was that? Well, he was sent over to England to be a chaplain at the royal court. And you remember we talked yesterday, both myself and Professor Stater, about the Stuart England of the 1700s or 1600s, and how it was a mixed bag. You had the sort of crypto-Catholic Stuarts and their Catholic queens, and then you had a very Protestant element in society who were constantly trying to dislodge them from the throne. And it was into that world that St. Claude came. Now, you've got to remember that when he came to England in the 1670s, Catholicism was outlawed. I know. So how's this going to work, right? We've got a French Jesuit arriving into London where his religion and his religious practice is outlawed. However, he was allowed, you see, to practice his ministry, his vocation, at the royal court, but it was restricted to being the chaplain to the Duchess of York, who would become the future wife of, well, she was the wife of the Duke of York, who he in turn was the heir to the throne and who would become King James II in due course. Now, St. Claude therefore lived in London for 3 years, and his movements and his time in London are very, very much shrouded in mystery. And that's because he had to operate undercover. It wasn't possible for him to go out and say mass in a church or hear confessions or visit the sick or do all the things that priests should and do. He wasn't able to do that. He would have been arrested immediately and thrown into prison. So his official tasks, his official ministry was at the royal court. But what has come down to us over the years are stories of him heading out into the night, disguised as just an ordinary layman, an ordinary French layman. And he would head off into different parts of London and minister to the outlawed Catholics who lived in and around London. So there were still many Catholics probably living in London. It was just that they were not able to practice their faith openly. So it is said that he would often head out into the streets of London at night, where he knew there were Catholic families or Catholic individuals that he could go to, and he could maybe bring them the Blessed Sacrament or hear confession, that sort of thing. And during the day, his ministry was giving sermons at the Palace Chapel at St. James, when St. James is right smack bang in the center of London. It's still there today. If you visit London, it's about a 5-minute walk from modern day Buckingham Palace. So it's an older palace where the heirs to the throne would live up until the recent death of the last queen. Prince Charles, that was his official residence, was St. James. So the Duchess of York had a very good confessor, right, and a very good chaplain. And he was known for, you know, sermons and tireless spiritual direction and being a prayerful man. He wasn't in any way abandoning himself to the Stuart court. And I have to say that the Stuart courts over the years are not noted for their religiosity. So he would have been in the thick of a rather bawdy set of circumstances. But by all accounts, he was a very, very holy individual. So he also wrote a lot of letters, and a lot of those letters were to St. Margaret Mary. One of the letters he said, or one of the letters that he wrote of that time, he said, I could write a book about the mercy of God that I've seen him exercise since I arrived here. I arrived in London. So that's a very interesting quote from St. Claude. I could write a book about the mercy of God that I've seen him exercise since I arrived here. And you've got to remember that this is in very, very difficult circumstances. Now, through the ministry of St. Claude, you could almost say that the Sacred Heart of Jesus was being brought to London's Catholics. Right. Now, do you remember yesterday I said that most Catholic churches that are in and here that I know in London have a statue to the Sacred Heart? Well, you could almost draw a line between each of those churches and this undercover Jesuit in Stuart London, because he would have brought with him not just the devotion to the Sacred Heart, But the first-hand experience of talking to the woman, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who had had those visions. That's how close London and the Sacred Heart had suddenly become. However, London was to show very little but contempt to the French Jesuit. And you remember we were talking yesterday about the Popish plot of 1678, you remember, and the scurrilous Titus Oates and the lies that were said, the conspiracies against Catholics. Well, poor old St. Claude was falsely implicated. Yeah. And he ended up being imprisoned for a number of weeks at what's known as King's Bench Prison in Southwark, which is just south of London Bridge. And I can assure you that London's prisons then, as now, were not places you'd want to hang about. So the fact he was there for a number of weeks would have been pretty, pretty awful, difficult for him. Now, the only reason that he ever was released from there was the fact that he was a Frenchman, and his French citizenship gave him a certain ability to maneuver, in the sense that the French court, the French government, asked that he be released. So he was, and then the English promptly expelled him from England. St. Claude was booted out of the country in 1679, and by all accounts, he was never, ever to return. But he did have a legacy from his time in England, because those weeks spent in that damp, dreary prison had a lasting effect upon his health. Yeah. The period of imprisonment in an English jail was to hasten his early death some 3 years later in 1682, when he was aged just 41 years old. Now, in London, there is no shrine to the saint who once walked its streets, often at night without detection. And as I say, although there are statues of the Sacred Heart throughout London in the churches, there are few pictures or statues to the saint who brought to London the first news of this renewal of an ancient devotion. So you can imagine that I was particularly happy that night when I saw that the relics of St. Claude were returning to London and returning to the place where he had suffered so much for the faith. So that is St. Claude de la Colombière, the Sacred Heart, and Stuart London.
You've been listening to Storytime on the Turley Frequency.
Well, you've been listening to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And let's do it all again, same time, same frequency, same place next week, next Monday, when we have Dr. Spencer Clavin joining us, talking about the decline of the Western world. But he has a solution to that. He has something which may turn that about, and he's going to be talking all about that Monday morning. So until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. That's Archangel Radio. Hope you have a great weekend. Till we speak again, may God bless you and keep you.